The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it has been a crazy week in Major League Baseball this week, so let's get right into what happened throughout the week. Beginning on Monday, Arizona Diamondbacks. They've actually, you know, like I said on Monday's show, they've been catching fire as of late. And this week actually has been a very good week for them, beginning on Monday, where they were able to get a 4-3 win over the Texas Rangers. And it was a crazy back-and-forth game, too. Actually, going into the ninth inning, the Rangers actually had a 3-2 lead up on the Diamondbacks, and they have two outs. And Ketel Marte is up to bat, and the dude hits a game-tying home run to send the game into extra innings. And then in the 11th inning, on the final out of the 11th inning, Tommy Pham is able to just hit a walk-off single against the Rangers and get them the win. And so the Diamondbacks are streaking, and the Rangers are streaking in the opposite direction. We'll get to them in a bit when we recap the playoffs, but Texas Rangers are not looking good at this current point in time, but the Arizona Diamondbacks, they are starting to catch fire at the right time of the season. Then on Tuesday, the Philadelphia Phillies got a big 4-3 win over my San Francisco Giants. And it's not just that they got the win, but Trey Turner, you know, he signed that huge contract. He was the big free agent in the offseason. The Philadelphia Phillies ended up getting him. But he's had a not-so-Trey Turner-like type season. It's been very quiet, very streaky as well. You know, he started off the season quiet. Then he started to get it going a bit, then got quiet again. Well, his month of August has been excellent. And he actually ended up getting the Phillies a walk-off single to take the win, because the Giants actually dominated this game. I was watching this game, and Giants just had it from the jump. And then I believe it was the eighth inning, maybe seventh inning. It was one of the last couple of innings. Philadelphia started getting it going offensively. And then Trey Turner walks up and gets them the walk-off single. But so far for the month of August, right now Trey Turner's batting average is a .353 with 6 doubles, 4 home runs, and 14 RBI. So the guy is on fire. And not only is he on fire statistically, but he's making the big hits. He's just keeping it going. Then on Wednesday, Aaron Judge was like, I am sick of this losing shit, and was finally able to power his Yankees through and finally end their 9-game losing streak, because the Yankees were on the precipice of a 10-game losing streak. And that would have been the worst losing streak in the history of their franchise since 1913. So that's how damn good the Yankees have been, but that's how shitty they are this year. But they ended up getting a 9-1 win over the Washington Nationals, and Aaron Judge went off. He had 3 home runs. Yeah, 3. One of them was a grand slam, by the way. But that's the first 3 home run game he's ever had in his career. He ended up with 6 RBI that night as well, which is also a career high for him as well. So he really wanted that win, and the Yankees were able to get it. Unfortunately, the following night they lost. But also on Wednesday, we got the unfortunate news that Shohei Ohtani, he was pitching against the Cincinnati Reds, and ended up tearing his UCL. He was removed from the game, I believe, in the first or the second inning from pitching. And unfortunately, they're getting a second opinion on whether or not he's going to need the dreaded Tommy John surgery. He is still hitting because he's just the DH, so he doesn't have to really do any throwing or anything. But what does suck, at least for him, is that he's set to hit the free agent market this offseason. Him being a pitcher and a hitter really elevates him to an upper echelon that has never existed in the entire history of baseball. And now this is definitely going to take a hit to hit whatever contract he ends up with this offseason. He's, of course, going to get paid, so no need to cry for him, but he's probably going to miss out on about $100 to $150 million just because of this injury. Because, you know, if he ends up having the Tommy John surgery, he will be, he won't be able to pitch for at least a year to 18 months. So the pitching aspect of it is a big deal. Now, like I said, he still can DH. He's an excellent hitter. So he still has that aspect to his game. But the fact that he tore his UCL is just, it's just such a, because for me personally, you know, I've made it clear on this show that I'm a Shohei Ohtani fan. Not an Angels fan. I fucking hate the Angels, as a matter of fact. But I think it just sucks that this guy, you know, he's a unicorn. As I've continued to say, we have never seen anything like this. And not only is it shitty that we weren't going to get to see him in the postseason regardless, because the Angels are terrible this year. And by the way, Mike Trout has gone back to the injured list as well. So another big hit to another great player. But you really want to see Ohtani succeed, and you want to see him get to the postseason, but that was not going to happen. And now his pitching is not only in question, definitely not pitching the rest of the season, but it's in question for the rest of his career, which is just awful because, you know, it was just so much fun to watch him this season. And, you know, I was kind of on pins and needles because the dude has been getting injured basically every year of his career since he began. So he does have a lot of wear and tear on that body, but he is an exciting player to watch. It's been so much fun to watch him pitching and hitting just at such an insane level this year. And the fact that he tore his UCL just really fucking sucks. And I still am hoping he is on the Giants' radar this offseason, of course, because I would love to see Ohtani in a Giants uniform. I would, the second he signs, I will be buying an Ohtani jersey 100%. I was really hoping to see him pitch and hit wherever he goes. So hopefully this doesn't ruin the pitching aspect of it, but it definitely puts a lot of things into question for the future of his career, at least when it comes to pitching. And then last night, I started off with the Diamondbacks, and now we're going to end with the Diamondbacks. Starting pitcher Merrill Kelly had the game of his career last night with the Diamondbacks. He pitched 7 shutout innings and had 12 strikeouts, which was a career high for him, in a 3-2 win over the Cincinnati Reds. So like I said, the Diamondbacks are getting going. So with that being said, let's go ahead and it's August, end of August, we're getting close to the playoff run. Let's recap where everybody's at. Currently, right now in the American League East, the Baltimore Orioles hold a 2-game lead over the Tampa Bay Rays. In the American League Central, the Minnesota Twins hold a 6-game lead over the Cleveland Guardians. And then in the American League West, where shit is starting to get shaken up, the Texas Rangers are on a 7-game losing streak and currently only hold a 1-game lead over both the Seattle Mariners and the Houston Astros. Mariners are probably the hottest team in the league right now. Astros, you never want to count them out because A, they're the World Series champs. B, they've been here many times before. And they're just a damn good team, so you can't ever count them out. And they're starting to get it going offensively. Also, something I haven't mentioned yet, but happened while I was on vacation, is they got Justin Verlander back. And the dude is pitching solid since he's been traded back to them. So the Texas Rangers better be scared right now, because they are slowly losing grip on that division. But fear not for them, because they would still be in wild card contention. Right now, the top American League wild card teams are the Tampa Bay Rays, the Seattle Mariners, and the Houston Astros, with the Toronto Blue Jays with only a game and a half out. And then the Boston Red Sox are 3.5 games out of the wild card. Then the National League East, of course, the Atlanta Braves have pretty much already taken this division. They right now currently hold a 13.5 game lead over the Philadelphia Phillies. In the National League Central right now, the Milwaukee Brewers hold a 3-game lead over the Chicago Cubs. And then the National League West, the Los Angeles Dodgers have a 12-game lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks. So I kind of feel like the National League East and National League West are on lockdown. And then in the wild card right now, the top teams are the Philadelphia Phillies, the Chicago Cubs, and the Arizona Diamondbacks, with the San Francisco Giants and the Cincinnati Reds only a half game back. And then the Miami Marlins are 2 games back. So I feel like the wild card in both leagues, the AL and the NL, are both up for grabs. You know, I feel like any number of teams can shift around. And then, like I said, the National League East, the National League West are pretty much won by the Braves and the Dodgers at this point. I mean, it's really going to take a miracle and a huge collapse for any team to really take over those divisions. But the wild card in both of the leagues right now are just extremely close. And like I said, we're midway through August. So we're getting there with the baseball playoffs. They are right around the corner, and we're going to see a lot of teams make some big runs, and I wouldn't be shocked if we see a team just completely fall apart and lose grip. And right now that seems to be the Texas Rangers, but you know, that could change on a dime. All right, and so since we are getting closer and closer and closer to football season, you know, I already did my NFC and AFC East predictions on Monday's show. So today we're going to do the NFC and AFC West predictions on the show. So let's begin with the NFC West and how I think things are going to shake up in this division. I think it's pretty much going to be business as usual between the Rams and the 49ers. I feel like those are the two best teams in this division, whereas Arizona and Seattle, they're just kind of up in the air. So I do think the Los Angeles Rams are going to win this division. Like I said, I do think it's going to be a close battle between them and the Niners, but I think the Rams are going to get the better of the Niners this year, and I think they're going to win the division at 11-6. I just think they're going to get back to form this year. I kind of feel like last year they were riding off of the high of that Super Bowl win, and, you know, they were just kind of coming off of a big Super Bowl hangover. Plus, they lost their offensive line. They had to suffer through a bunch of injuries last year. And I just kind of feel like the Rams are still a good team, and I think they're going to get back to form this year and be one of the top teams in the NFC. They still have questions at offensive line and also the running back position, so we'll see how that turns out. They did trade away Jalen Ramsey in the offseason, so we'll see if that has an effect on them defensively. But I still think they're a solid and good team, and I think they're going to win the NFC West this year. Then coming in second place, I think, is going to be the San Francisco 49ers. Like I said, I feel like it's going to be a battle between them and the Rams, and I just think the Rams will get the better of them in the end. But I've got the 49ers finishing with a 10-7 record this year. The good thing for them this year, they know who their quarterback is going in at the start of the season, Brock Purdy. I kind of feel like we all knew he was going to be the starting quarterback just with the way he finished the season last year. You could tell he has the respect of all the veterans. I feel like between all the quarterbacks on their roster, he definitely has the better intangibles. He just looks like a quarterback, whereas Trey Lance, I've been questioning whether or not the dude's going to be good or not. Basically, since they drafted him, I always thought that was a mistake. And then, of course, you've got Sam Darnold, who's bounced around the league now. He did have a great preseason, but that's only preseason. I'm not one of those people who really even takes much into account when it comes to preseason, but he ended up winning the second position in the cornerback quarterback ranks. So Trey Lance could potentially be getting traded here at some point soon. But to me, it was obvious that Brock Purdy not only should have been the quarterback coming into the offseason, but we knew it was happening as training camp wore on. And then he played in his preseason game last week and looked pretty solid. So I do think the 49ers are just going to be their same typical team where they're going to be really good. They've got a lot of damn good players at a lot of different positions. But I do think they're in a difficult division, and that's what I feel like is going to wear them down a bit record-wise. Also of note, which is very odd to me, that you're not hearing a lot of news about this, but their standout defensive end, Nick Bosa, coming off of one of the most dominating defensive seasons ever, he's currently holding out. Who knows how long his holdout's going to last? We don't know if he's going to play week one or if he's just going to keep on holding out all the way to the end. I expect him to get paid, by the way. It's just a matter of, you know, all the contract negotiations. But it's weird that nobody's really mentioned it. I actually just kind of found out about this when I was doing research on the teams, and I was like, wow, that's a big deal. It's a big distraction. Holdouts are always a distraction. Nick Bosa is a beast, and I don't feel like the Niners are going to be as good if they don't have him at defensive end. Then finishing in third place in the NFC West, I have the Arizona Cardinals. I have them finishing at 7-10 this season. I don't believe in Kyler Murray. I've always kind of felt like he's just a diva type of crybaby. They don't really have much at wide receiver. Their defense is pretty terrible, if you ask me. If you look at that roster, you're like, who the fuck is this? So I just think overall the Arizona Cardinals are just going to be flat out terrible. And that's about all I have to say about them. And then rounding out the NFC West, I have the Seattle Seahawks finishing at 6-11. I kind of felt like last year was a fluky year for them, where most people expected them to be one of the worst teams in the league. Geno Smith ends up just having a career year for himself, a career resurgence especially. And I just kind of feel like that was what last year was for them. I feel like this year they're not going to be good at all. They really don't have much going on offensively. Their offensive line is terrible. They do have a couple of good receivers. But outside of that, I question pretty much everything about their offense. They do have some good, solid defenders, but I really don't believe in the Seattle Seahawks at all this year, and I don't think they're going to be a good team at all. So moving on to the AFC West, which I feel is definitely going to end up being one of the best divisions in football. I feel like all four teams have the potential to be playoff bound. One, obviously, they're the defending Super Bowl champs, so they obviously have Super Bowl aspirations every year. But I feel like two of the other teams definitely have the potential to make a playoff run. And then one, I just kind of feel like is just going to be just the circumstances of being in such a tough division. I think they're just going to get beat up and they're going to end up at the bottom just because the division's so good. So let's start it off with who I think is going to win the division. The Kansas City Chiefs, of course. I've said it before, especially after they won this last Super Bowl. They are like the New England Patriots now of the early 2000s. You know, the dynastic Patriots, where the Chiefs, as long as they have Patrick Mahomes, as long as they have Travis Kelce, as long as they have Andy Reid, you can't count this team out, no matter what the circumstances are. Last year, they rode on the back of Patrick Mahomes, and he was happy to take that burden. He had an MVP season. The offensive line is back to protecting him. And then he just takes advantage of, you know, having the greatness that is Travis Kelce, and then just having a bunch of other guys in the backfield and at the wide receiver position who may not be the best, but they know how to make decent plays, decent enough plays, to at least get the job done. And then the defense, while it's nothing to brag about, they're still pretty damn good. Now, the only problem for the Chiefs this offseason has been Chris Jones, their defensive tackle. He is currently holding out for more money. And who knows if he's how long he's going to hold out. He's stating he's going to hold out to week 8, which he could do. Who knows? He might get a new contract. But I feel like that's the only dark cloud that's been hanging over the Chiefs. But the Chiefs, they're the defending champs. I have them going at 13-4 this year. Just because I'm the type of person where when I'm making predictions, I never predict somebody's going undefeated, and it's always difficult for me to predict you're only going to lose one or two games, especially now that they play 17 games total in the season, and it's 18 weeks now. So I do have the Chiefs going 13-4, but I still think they're going to be one of the best teams in the league. I still think they're going to be competing for a Super Bowl, and like I said, you can't ever count them out. Unless, you know, Mahomes gets injured. But even if Travis Kelce were to get injured, as long as they have Mahomes, I feel like this team is going to be one of the most dominant teams until proven otherwise. Then finishing in second place in the AFC West, I have the Los Angeles Chargers. I have them finishing 11-6 on the season. The thing with the Chargers, overall, they have a good team. But the thing with the Chargers is, can they take it to the next level? That's basically been the Chargers' mantra basically since their existence when they used to be the San Diego Chargers. You know, they've had some really damn good teams. They've been to the Super Bowl before, got their asses beat, but they've been there before. But they've always been that team where they're just right there on the precipice, and then once the playoffs hit, or hell, even towards the end of the season, they're just unable to make it there. So Justin Herbert, he signed a contract extension this offseason, so he is now currently the highest-paid quarterback in the league, highest-paid player in the league, so he has a lot on his shoulders. This team has to succeed this year. I do think they're going to take it to the next level, at least as a playoff team, but I don't know if I believe in them as a Super Bowl-bound team. I'm going to have to see what they've got on the field this year. Also of note, Austin Eckler's their standout running back, who is a huge part of this offense, is also holding out for another contract. Who knows? We don't know what's going to happen. If he plays, they're going to be solid. If he doesn't play, I do think that's going to affect them offensively, especially. And so we'll see what happens with them this season. But the big question with the Chargers is always the question we have when the Chargers are a good team coming into the season. And that is, are they ready to take the next step and move to the next level with the Kansas City Chiefs? So we'll see. I do have expectations for them to be pretty good this year. But I would not be shocked if they fall flat on their face and don't make it to the postseason. Then I have the Denver Broncos finishing in third place in the AFC West. I have them finishing with a 10-7 record. So I do have them improving over last year. I feel like no matter what, the addition of Sean Payton as your coach definitely makes this team much, much better. We all know Sean Payton teams are very well-coached teams. But I just kind of feel like the fact that they're in such difficult division does not play well for them. I do expect Russell Wilson to bounce back this year and be much better than he was last year. But there are still questions with the offensive line. There are still questions with their backfield. And there are a lot of questions with their wide receivers, because even now Jerry Jeudy may be out the first couple of weeks with a hamstring injury that he suffered the other day. So offensively, I feel like they're going to have some struggles. Defensively, I feel like they're going to be pretty good. And I just feel like I said, the addition of Sean Payton at coach is going to make them a better team overall. I definitely think they're still going to have their struggles. Like I said, the fact that they're in this difficult division, it plays a part into why they may potentially miss the playoffs. But I do think they're going to be a much improved team and a better team than they were last year. And then rounding out the AFC West, I have the Las Vegas Raiders. I think they're going to go 6-11 this year. I think moving on from Derek Carr, I feel like it had to be done. You know, he had spent his time there. He was a very loyal Raider. But it just didn't work out. So the fact that they moved on from him, I don't have a problem with. Now, moving on from him to Jimmy G, I don't know. Jimmy G is a hot-ass motherfucker, but the dude is a China doll, and he gets injured all the fucking time. So we'll see what happens. He actually already started off the season with a foot injury. He did pass his physical, and he's expected to be a full go for week one, but we'll see if he makes it throughout the entire season. That's always a question with him. Also, another big deal for the Raiders right now is their star running back, Josh Jacobs. He's holding out, looking for a new deal. So we'll see how long his holdout lasts, but he's a huge part of their offense. And then, of course, you've got Devontae Adams, who is the shining star on this offense. So Jimmy G is set at the wide receiver position. But he's definitely going to need Josh Jacobs back there because Josh Jacobs not only is great at just in the ground attack, but he is a nice weapon to have in the open field as well. And then defensively, they did pick up Marcus Peters in the offseason, so I think that's an improvement. But I still think there's a lot of questions just overall with this Las Vegas Raiders team. So I don't expect them to be a really good team at all. And I kind of feel like if they were in a different division, they would get a few more wins. But since they are in the toughest division in football, I feel like they're going to be getting beat up. I feel like they could cause a couple of upsets throughout the season, but I just kind of feel like the Raiders are going to be the Raiders, as they always are. Typical losers. So those are the NFC and AFC West predictions I have for the upcoming season. So on Monday's show, I will go ahead and do the NFC and AFC North teams. And then next Friday, I will do the NFC and AFC South teams. And then we'll get to my playoff predictions and ultimately who I think is going to win it all by the time we begin week one of the NFL season. So I hope you all enjoy the weekend of sports. I know fantasy football leagues are starting to get drafting. I had my first fantasy football draft earlier in the week. I have one this weekend, and then I have another one next weekend. So good luck to all of you if you participate in fantasy football as well. If you don't, well, then you don't care about what I just said, and go fuck yourself because you should be playing some fantasy football. It's pretty fun, actually. So if you are... if you got a draft coming up this weekend or next weekend, good luck to you. And like I said, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you all on Monday.